Okay, friends, here we are. This is Esoteric Astrology Adventure number 91. And we're at Section A. We've been looking at something quite interesting, at kind of a higher quaternary which involves Sirius, and I believe the sign Leo, Mercury, and Saturn. Mercury can be called the star of Sirius in a way. It has a close connection. Saturn is involved in a transmission from the constellation Leo. So Mercury has come into our discussion, and you thus have the formation of an esoteric quaternary, not an exoteric one, affecting powerfully the quaternary of man. Usually it's spirit-soul-body or spirit-soul-personality, but here it's spirit-soul-mind and brain. Soul, mind, and brain are the alignment, or it represents the alignment we seek to establish. But spirit added to it makes it an even deeper alignment, of course. So this energy, I suppose Mercury, brings an interrelation and an inner awakening which prepares the aspirant for initiation. The monad is actually involved in the initiatory process registered within the soul itself at the first initiation, but not within the brain or mind or brain of man. So this is the higher quaternary, just to repeat a little bit. Sirius, Leo, Mercury, Saturn. It's a lower function of Saturn to say that it represents the concretion of the mind, which we can consider to be the brain. So here is the tabulation, giving us the four factors. One, a constellation, we might call it Sirius, or at least a star, Leo a sign, Mercury a planet, and Saturn a still superior planet, but having a, in this context, a lower function. Sirius here will be related to the spirit. When we talk about Sirius, we never know for sure whether we're talking about a single star or a few stars, Sirius A, Sirius B, and maybe some Sirius C factor, as around many stars there are vestigial remains of previous incarnations of that logos, or whether we're talking about the so-called Sirian system, which could represent or be guided by the logos of the seven solar systems of which ours is one. There's strong reason to believe, with the such close relation of Sirius and our solar logos being part of the seven solar systems of which ours is one, that Sirius would as well. It's only 8 light years away, and Alpha Centauri and Beta Centauri are also just 4 light years away. So it would seem that these very proximate stars are part of the seven solar systems of which ours is one. And yet on page 50 of Esoteric Astrology, Sirius has its own placement. So that is a question concerning perhaps the solar plexus center of the cosmic logos in whom our sun is a heart center. Well, the solar plexus, rather, center of a constellational logos. And this maybe concerns the relation of this constellational logos, a cosmic logos, which may be a solar plexus center, and the various stars, which represent within that solar plexus center various chakras. Our solar logos, I think, representing a heart center within this larger solar plexus center. Life, quality, illumination, and appearance, and inhalation, then the period of impression, interlude, exhalation, Mercury. It fits well with the breathing process Mercury does. It has so much to do with the lungs, and with an outbreathing or an extension of a given source to other sources, and then the lower interlude of Saturn. The above tabulation, he tells us, gives us a clue to the basic reality and necessity of meditation as practiced by the disciple and the initiate, because the four-fold sequence involving inhalation, interlude, exhalation, interlude is given in relation to spirit. Now, spirit is interesting because when we breathe in, inspirare, we are inspired, we are breathing in life. We can call it inhalation. We can breathe in from above, in which case it would be the taking in of the highest energy represented in this quaternary, which in this case appears to be Sirius. Then we hold, and we exhale, and hold. So we can breathe as if the quality is from below, or we can inhale as if we are breathing in qualities from above. So the above tabulation gives us the clue to the basic reality and necessity of meditation as practiced by the disciple and the initiate. This may not be apparent to you at first sight, and I may not further expand these suggestions, but the direct reflection of the illumined mind may bring insight to you in time. And this is a Mercurian activity. We see that the mind and illumination is governed by Mercury in the tabulation here. The direct insight. And the direct insight is intuition. Direct reflection of the illumined mind. Well, let's say this. Whoops. That's not the one, is it? No. Go back to the home and let's say reflecting. Reflecting the intuition. Reflecting the intuition. And I'll eliminate the underline there, and I think we'll be in pretty good shape. Okay. The influence of Sirius is not consciously felt until after the third initiation. How much after? The third initiation must be an established fact, I suppose. That's what this means. So even though we talk much of it and realize that it is responsible for our initiatory program here on this planet, and even though we may receive its impacts, a conscious sense of what this energy is, conscious registration of it, by whatever means it may be transmitted, is not to be achieved until after the third degree. The word felt is interesting, because we are dealing with sentiency here and that growing factor of sensitivity so connected with Leo. We're dealing with the star of sensitivity. So let's look at this. Leo, the constellation sign of sensitivity, and Sirius, the brilliant star of sensitivity. So the word felt seems fitting. When the true nature of the spirit aspect begins to dawn upon the liberated intuitive perception of the initiate. So it's not that the initiate is liberated. It's that the initiate's intuitive perception is liberated, at least compared to what it was before. Perhaps a fuller liberation will come in at the fourth degree. So in that tabulation above, Sirius was related to spirit, and Sirius can be felt when the spirit aspect becomes a capable of conscious registration, and this is following, at and following, the third degree. So the influence of Sirius is not consciously felt until after the third initiation, when the true nature of the spirit aspect, not maybe the mediated nature, the nature of the spirit as speculated upon, no, the true nature of the spirit aspect begins to dawn upon the liberated intuitive perception, and only begins to dawn, really, in fact. For the advanced initiate in this sign and after the third initiation, now a true initiate is the third degree, is an advanced initiate of the fourth degree, is an advanced initiate of the fourth degree, or is he saying that anybody who has taken the third degree should be considered an advanced initiate? It doesn't seem quite right. Anyway, for the advanced initiate in this sign, in Leo, in or under, I suppose, and after the third initiation, Sirius becomes a major life factor. So I suppose that in celebrating the Sirius Festival, as I know many do that, and we tend to do that quite a bit in Finland, I think our whole temple is can be said to be dedicated principally to the Sirian energy, or at least to the invocative approach to that energy. Many practice this approach. But if we are truly the advanced initiate, the third degree is concluded, the application is being made to the fourth degree, certainly if one takes the fourth degree, one is an advanced initiate. I guess I'm trying to see if I move forward just a little bit, if there will be less of the blinding light. maybe not. Perhaps a little. So Sirius becomes a major life factor in the Leo subject. He begins to respond to its vibration because he now rules the sun and the moon. The sun is the soul, it's a number of things. It's the entire integrated personality, and the moon is every one of the lunar vehicles. But from another perspective, the sun is the consciousness within the causal body, which, as a third degree initiate, he is beginning to transcend, or at least he's moving towards transcendence. So it's almost as if we have Sirius, Sun, Moon, with Sirius becoming more powerful. Sirius, Sun, Moon. The emphasis now is on Sirius and not so much on the energies within the causal body, because the attempt is to become intuitive. So he's now rules the sun and moon and is controlling those two planets. For that is what the sun and moon have become to him, simply planets to be ruled. In other words, they no longer occupy the center of his consciousness. Planets revolve around a center, and he sustains now, or is developing, a different center. We could also be speaking of the planets which the sun and moon veil, but they are no longer the locus of his attention. Sun and moon are no longer the locus of the initiate's attention. A different center has been found. He's trying to increasingly, well, he can focus at will within the causal body, but he's trying to also externalize or maybe internalize his attention from the causal body into the spiritual triad. It seems that seven energies are said to come from the Great Bear, three from the Pleiades and two from Sirius, and I think there is a relationship of those two energies with the sun and the moon, or at least what they symbolize. This is a great mystery, and I simply state the fact, you know, let's just say to be centered in Sirius is increasingly to be centered in spirit. To be centered in the sun is more to be centered in soul. So there are a number of factors which we are combining here. Sirius, Leo, the sun, the moon, and Mercury are now the influences with which the initiate is concerned. He is attempting now to identify as spirit. He is using a higher aspect of the Antikorana under Mercury. The moon is, there's been a transfiguration here. And the moon represents Vulcan, Neptune, and Uranus, all of which have been gathered, lifted, and are now instrumental to his higher purpose. He's definitely connecting with the spirit aspect. Why it should be serious at this point? Well, we're dealing very much with the Leo subject, I think. So he has the Ahamkara under control. He has a fully integrated instrument. It's a transfigured instrument. The Leo energy is helping him identify at a higher level of reality. Perhaps he's moving towards the Uranian expression of Leo, and Sirius shows his initiate status and allies him with the Great White Lodge, which is essentially ruled by Sirius. So the initiate, beyond the third degree here and in Leo, is concerned with these particular influences. He has transcended the sun and moon through the power of Leo and Sirius. The influence of Sirius, here it's three in number, not two as earlier in the book, where we're talking about the energies which reach man. We had been talking about seven energies from the Great Bear and transmitted to the Little Bear, and three from the Pleiades and two from Sirius. So that's, in a certain respect, it's 14 plus 5, it's 19. Interestingly, in a way, the number of the sun, at least the tarot card of the sun, is the 19, transcending the moon. But otherwise, it's a 12, 7 plus 3 plus 2. Now there are three influences of Sirius, and we have to ask, do these relate to Sirius A, B, and B and C? They are focused in Regulus. Now, in this case, we are dealing with a constellation. There is a star here which is transmitting a certain type of control. We also have to consider that the three influences could be the ones correlating with Uranus, Neptune, and Saturn. And it has been speculated by some that the undiscovered planet Isis, which has a P period of years, which is about equivalent to the number of Earth days that is taken to revolve around the Sun, in other words, about 360 Earth years, could be one of the receivers of the Sirian energy. I just throw that in as a speculation. The knowledge of the undiscovered planets is pretty slight, but they are important, and Isis may well be a powerful planet related to Sirius. So the heart of the lion, Sirius focuses three energies in the heart of the lion, and the three energies, of course, have to somehow relate to three aspects. Regulus, which is, as we know, he tells us, a star of the first magnitude and is frequently called the heart of the lion. It has much to do with the legal profession, DK tells us, and there's much occultism in the name. There was more real occultism hidden in the names given to the various stars by astronomers down the ages than has yet been realized, and here we have a case in point. I guess some have considered it to be a Saturnine star because of its regulatory function. Anyway, Sirius has three influences: freedom, sensitivity, and karma. So these are 1, 2, and 3. They are Uranus, Neptune, and Saturn. So perhaps this star in Leo has something to do with the administration or the sending to Earth of the streams which induce increasing freedom, increasing sensitivity, and karmic compensation. It will be apparent to you, given a little thought, that the Sun, as it veils Neptune, for the Leo subject, we have to remember here, produces a potent effect upon the personality, symbolized for us here by the astral body. So we have the idea of the heart of the Sun and Neptune and the astral body. Let's look at that combination. Whilst Uranus, which is also veiled by the Sun, symbolizes the effect of the soul upon the upon the personality as a whole. This is an interesting idea. Certainly the mental body is strongly influenced by Uranus. So occult mind is Uranian, but he goes from the astral body of Neptune to the entire personality. But remembering that the personality is closely allied to the mental unit on the plane of mind. So hence the activity of the seventh ray, which is from one angle the lowest aspect of the first ray. Uranus, the first ray, monad, seventh ray, soul. So he's talking about the veiling. He's talking about veiling, and he speaks of the effect of veiling on the vehicles of the personality and on the personality itself. So mind personality are closely allied, and we're not going to have a personality unless there can be integration on the plane of mind. And the Neptune, of course, rules the astral body. But there is a higher meaning, of course, to Uranus. We've been told that, in a way, it brings in the energy of the monad. It's certainly allied with the idea of the archetype, and the monad holds that. So there are a number of levels on which we can understand both Uranus and Neptune. So we have an underlying idea here. He tells us, well, let me just put this down, that Uranus expresses both the first and seventh rays. Seventh ray in a soul sense, first ray monadically. Hence you have the underlying idea of, in Leo, the awakening of the personality to soul control and contact with a true expression, eventually, in the three worlds of soul will, desire, and intent. By that do we mean personality will. So we have two levels of the Sun, two levels of Leo here. Soul control is coming from the second level of Leo. And this this control comes in, we are seeing, from Sirius through Regulus and to Regulus, perhaps then to the sign Leo, and to the Sun. Okay, the Sun and the Soul, and the microcosmic soul. So we have several things happening here. I'd like to see where he's going. Both Neptune and Uranus produce a positive, potent effect upon the personality, but the personality here is symbolized as the astral body, whilst Uranus symbolizes the effect of the soul upon the personality. But let's not leave the mind out of this. The next is the awakening of the seventh center, the center of the base of the spine, by the soul working through the first or highest head center. Uranus is well equipped to deal with this type of awakening and producing as a consequence a surging upward of the Kundalini fire, reminding us that the fires of God are connected with Leo and the other fire signs. So when we look at the base of the spine center, there are many planets we can connect with, the Earth, Mars, Mercury, even Saturn, and certainly, since it is the seventh center from above, Uranus, not to forget Pluto, Uranus, which has a connection with the first ray and purpose, and also with the with matter, because the atomic energy, both etheric and dense, are connected with Aquarius. So in a way, the top is the Sun, the bottom is the Moon, but the Moon, in a way, is Uranus. So there is in the Leo subject, when once initiation has been passed, I think we are talking about that period, we are talking of a period in which initiation has been passed. The center of the base of the spine begins to operate, even though most fully at the fifth degree, which is Leonian, I think, in nature. The soul is working through the first or highest head center to produce this upward surging of Kundalini fire. This, in its turn, produces fusion with the higher forces. And this, when this takes place, the three major centers in the body are, and this is another of those interesting tabulations, so many unusual relationships are being offered here. I want to make maybe these a little bit smaller. Then perhaps we can, that's better. So there is the head, the heart, and the base of the spine. And interestingly, this is the political triangle, those who work with the imposition of the will. So the head is connected with the central spiritual sun, the heart, of course, with the heart of the sun, and the base of the spine with the physical sun, or with Agni, the personality. And in this case, it's not the Great Bear, but it's Sirius, which is connected to the head center. It does regulate and control the entire initiatory process, and although Sanat Kumar is not on the Sirian line, the entire program of initiation on our planet is ruled by Sirius. So there is here Sirius connected with the head center, and there are some ways in which when we look at the seven solar systems of which ours is one, we might think of Sirius as the lead star and hence connected with the head center of that cosmic logos. Mercury is the son of God, the son of mind, connected with soul expression on the mental plane, hence with the heart of the sun. Saturn is the Brahmic planet, a planet of personality, relating to the 18 lower subplanes. It's connected with the third ray and the number 9, and the number 18 sums to 9. And then the sun itself, which is our solar system receiving. And how interesting that Uranus is involved with the heart energy. This is a different relationship than we see when we are looking at the triangle of Leo, Pisces, and Capricorn. Mercury is then in the Capricorn line, and Uranus is in the Pisces line, but again, for the second time. Let's put this for the... Well, I think maybe I'll do this underneath. For the second time, Uranus is connected with a heart line of descent. So Uranus is connected with the heart in this case, and Neptune with the base of the spine. This rather reminds one of Neptune's role in the fifth, almost liberated creative hierarchy, which through its desire nature is causing manifestation upon the cosmic physical plane. This is a very occult chart. So we're talking about the awakening of the seventh center, the center of the base of the spine, working through the first or highest head center. It's kind of like an opposition of Sun and Neptune. You would normally think of Uranus involved here. But the base of the spine is interestingly given to Neptune. At least the upward surging part fits well with the dynamics of Neptune. The rhythm of the heart, the fact that the heart is the life, the fact that Uranus is the vital energy and connects with the first ray, and also with the second ray, makes its fit with the heart strong. The rhythm of the heart is there. Neptune is a planet which rises rather than descends, mostly, unless it has to do with the lowest part of a higher plane on which desire is formed for manifestation or incarnation on the cosmic physical plane. The sun here is the symbol of the head. So this there's a head line here. The head and the central spiritual sun is the monad of the solar logos. Now, I'm not sure these are in strict order. We're just looking in generally at the categories heart, head, and base of the spine, so perhaps we have to begin with central spiritual sun, the monadic nature of the solar logos from another... Yeah, I think we have to stick with the sun. There's another way in which the central spiritual sun can be considered Alcyone, another way in which even the Pleiades are the central spiritual sun, in the one about whom naught may be said. So that may be possible, but if we stick to the sun, we're dealing with the monadic nature of the sun, which in this context, Sirius seems to be related, maybe occupying the head center position of a sevenfold cosmic logos. That's not, in my thinking, the one about whom not can be said, but the seven major stars of which our sun is one, that constellation. The heart of the sun, I guess we have to know why it is that Mercury should be higher in this chart than Uranus. But we're dealing largely with spirit, soul, and body. And Mercury here is the mind. But the mind is also expressing the second aspect of divinity on the fifth plane. So Mercury has a 2-5 meaning here. And Saturn is the brain. So we're dealing in a way with spirit, soul, mind, soul, brain. Now I suppose we're dealing with the head center, the heart center, and the base of the spine center, which these planets do represent. Certainly the effulgent glory of the sun can well represent the highest head center. It's a star after all. Uranus, the rhythm of the heart, and Neptune, strangely, through its upsurging desire or its possible desire for incarnation, representing the base of the spine. Usually, because the base of the spine is a center connected with the etheric body, Uranus would be a better fit, it would seem to me, and Neptune in the heart position. But DK knows what he's doing here and is giving us a new set of relationships to ponder. So the activity of the seventh ray, which is from one angle the lowest aspect of the first, we also have in this whole, we're basically looking at the relationship of the sun, Neptune, and Uranus. And we're making a tabulation here. So in all of this, let's just try to define the general approach. In all of this, we are looking at the relationship between the sun, Uranus, and Neptune, and in that order. And so underlying the process, we see the awakening of the personality to soul control. And there is the will to rule. So the Leo subject certainly has the will to rule the personality. The awakening of the base of the spine center, which is going to bring through alignment with soul and eventually with spirit, because the highest head center and the base of the spine symbolize really, when completed, the fifth initiation, which shows us there is a masterful alignment of the spirit with the personality, working through the absorbed soul aspect. And the three major centers in the body at this stage will be the head, the heart, and the base of the spine. This we want to call, I think, a will alignment. This is a will alignment, political. We're working with the three aspects of the sun. When we talk about the physical sun, I think we have to deal also with the personality of the solar logos. We have eliminated Leo from this tabulation, and we have only Sirius, Mercury, and Saturn, but that Sirius can represent spirit, soul. Mercury is largely the mind, but we can look at the higher mental plane as well if we're dealing with the heart of the sun. Saturn is the brain. And then the actual chakras themselves, perhaps. The sun representing the head center, Uranus, the heart, the rhythmic heart, dispensing vitality and life, and Neptune, the most, I think, unusual placement in this tabulation, being at the base of the spine, but its position as the ruler of the fifth almost liberated hierarchy, and the position of that hierarchy is almost on the cosmic astral plane, veiling the Christ and its desire being to permeate the cosmic physical plane with its nature. We can see perhaps how Neptune would be involved there, involving a further movement into incarnation of the cosmic astral, with which Neptune is associated with the cosmic physical, with which Saturn is associated, and Uranus with the top part of it, and Saturn with the bottom. As the above alignment corresponds to a very high stage of initiation, okay, it will not be possible to grasp all the implications, but enough may be apparent to reveal the underlying theme and purpose of the great work. A very high stage of initiation. Now, how high? We would almost ask, is this mastership or beyond? Well, perhaps mastership. This really is an alignment of the monad, the soul, and the personality. And at the third degree, at the fifth degree, well, maybe that's it, you know. Maybe that's really the story of what's going on here. At the fifth degree, one is entering the Syrian regime. So let me make a proposition here. Maybe he's showing us what the entered apprentice at the fifth degree really is demonstrating. I don't think he would say very high stage of initiation if initiation itself begins at the third degree. So maybe we are talking of the entered apprentice degree in relation to Sirius. This is the fifth degree. And it demands an alignment of monad, soul, and personality. It demands an alignment of monad, soul, and personality. Thus, Sirius would, in this context, represent the spirit. Oftentimes, it's the great bear that represents the spirit, and from another perspective, if we look at this really cosmically, the Pleiades themselves are the great center of our local, one about whom naught may be said. But I think it can be said, that Sirius is involved in producing the master. Now, Leo is not here indicated, but we may be speaking in general of the Leo subject. Many mysteries here. This is very occult. I'd only be satisfied really contemplating it for a long time. Many mysteries. And mastership. The Antikorana ends in the sun. If you look at the chart 6 in the Treatise on Cosmic Fire, I think what I'll do here is to arrive there in this way. Fellowship of Cosmic Fire diagrams and chart 6. Don't be too long now. You see an interesting thing that, look at this. This is a higher trinity. It's really a kind of a graphic of what we've just been talking about. The sun, Uranus, Neptune in that order. Meaning the head, the heart, and the base of the spine center. And these three kind of like the Tree of Life, hovering above the lower seven, the three and the seven. These are the ten. So the higher trinity really is composed of the Sun, Uranus, Neptune. Usually the order is different because the Sun represents the personality, but, well, okay, Neptune represents the second initiation and more Buddhic alignment, and Uranus represents the spirit alignment, the connection with the higher will. But maybe there's something about this having to do with our second-ray solar system and Neptune's preeminent place, ruling a powerful center, the base of the spine, which comes into activity at the fifth initiation, full activity. The base of the spine center comes into full activity at the fifth initiation. This is raised in initiations, page 340. And Neptune's preeminent place in our system may be indicated by Neptune's position at the fifth degree. I think he's showing us. I think he is showing us an alignment which pertains to the fifth degree and which gives entree into the Sirian system, the actual Sirian system of initiation. These are ideas, and they still require confirmation, of course. But, you know, why put Sirius in the preeminent position? You kind of wonder whether at the fifth degree, not only does the solar logos get involved here to some extent, but the cosmic logos, which embraces both Sirius, I think, and our sun, may be distantly involved. It is still an initiation administered by Sanat Kumara. Anyway, when we see the Sun, Uranus, Neptune, it's in exact order of the picture we have here of chart number 6, Sun, Uranus, Neptune. There's got to be a connection of these three higher occult factors. The Brahma is never entirely occult, but when we get to subplane 2 and subplane 1, ruled respectively by Neptune and Uranus, we find occult factors. And the Sun hovers above this all. So it's the 1 and the 9, or the 3 and the 7. The 10 is produced. These are speculations surrounding a most occult chart. We cannot grasp all the implications, but the underlying theme and purpose of the great work is revealed. Okay. That is really something for the future. Several major triangles of force were active when individualization took place and the lions, the divine tawny orange flames, came into being. And thus humanity arrived upon this planet. So the lions, the divine tawny orange flames, well, are we speaking here of the soul, here of the solar angels? Perhaps. Humanity would not have come into being, at least on our chain and globe, using the individualization method with which we are familiar, without the solar angels and the color of the solar angels, I think, is principally orange. The color of the causal body which they substand is principally orange. Orange is the color associated with Leo. Definitely. In pigment, I suppose, red and yellow gives us this. Orange, the color associated principally with Leo. Also, with the first ray and with the factor of death, the use of orange in creating detachment of the identity from that with which it is identified. So we have this identification in consciousness with our surroundings, with our vehicle, and we use orange and we create detachment. It's also a Vulcanian type of color, first ray color in that respect. It's related to the sun, even though our sun is yellow. It's related to the note D, a first ray note. Red and then orange and then yellow. C, D, E, red, orange, and yellow. So the divine and tawny orange flames were called in for the awakening of the planetary heart. The solar angels were called in from the heart of the sun, arrived upon our planet from the heart of the sun, from the cosmic mental plane. So, what is the triangle? One triangle we're discussing. The sun, second ray, Jupiter, and Venus, fifth ray, also with second ray. This is such an important, what I can call a solar angelic, or an important soul triangle, solar angelic. I would say having much to do with the establishment of the causal body. It will be apparent to you that we here have another sphere of influence of major importance governed by Leo. Well, the sun is intimately related to Leo. Jupiter, we saw, transmits the energies of the fixed cross in the first stage of Leo. The sun, in its lower meaning, is related to Jupiter. Venus and Jupiter intimately related to the causal body, the creation of that vehicle on the higher mental plane, which, in a way, Venus rules. And Jupiter giving us the growth of consciousness. It will be apparent to you that we here have another sphere of influence of major importance. It is a triangle to which HPB refers in The Secret Doctrine, the influence of which he was endeavoring to elucidate. Let's just write it down. It's such a key triangle. On the second ray, I would say, Sun, Jupiter, and Venus. Yes, we can consider Venus a fifth ray planet, but in its deeper nature, it has this love, wisdom, powerful second ray meaning. So potent was the influence of this triangle that the effect upon the moon was, I suppose this was when the moon chain was collapsing in its failure, was to denude her of life by drawing out all the seeds of life. In other words, let's just say a very magnetic triangle. So drawing away the seeds of life from the moon, what are the seeds of life? Let's ask, did it draw away the monads, which were expressing on the moon chain, thus destroying her influence, for it was undesirable where humanity was concerned, the humanity which was on the moon chain at that time. So these three are liberators, of humanity from the moon chain. And they are two really benefic planets and the glorious sun. So much revealed here of the deeper occultism. There came a time when the moon was, I suppose we could say, collapsing in corruption and chaos, and humanity was stalled, unable to proceed, and here come the great magnetic planets, which are so closely allied. This triangle is allied both, no, by one theory, both with the Sun and with Sirius. We remember that the hypothesis here that Jupiter is the planet most related to our Sun, and Venus, the planet in our solar system, most allied to Sirius. So a whole new program was instituted under these planets and the Sun, or under these two stars and the Sun. A whole new program with different method of initiation and of individualization. Well, actually, the method of initiation was instituted to expand consciousness and to lift the Earth towards Venus. The third aspect is just not so represented. Third aspect is diminished in this triangle, and the second aspect emphasized. There is mind, of course, through Venus, but there is a diminishment of it, and we're pulling away from the third ray, from matter, from form, from chaos, and we're creating a whole new system. These three are much more closely related to the Earth chain than to the Moon chain. And the lives, the seeds of life that were on the moon chain, seeds of life on the moon chain, are given a new opportunity through the power of second ray magnetism. Well, interesting. Very interesting. I'm really quite amazed at the depth of occultism here. I mean, we're told that Sirius is difficult to understand. And here we are seeing how occult are the factors related to anything which really involves Sirius. See, there was no, I think, intervention of solar angels in the moon chain, but in the fourth chain it was not only timely due to the opening of the planetary heart center, which is the fourth center on the fourth chain, but it was needed due to the failure. So these factors, Sirius, Sun, Jupiter, Venus, are all involved. Sun, Jupiter, Venus, all involved in presenting the new dispensation, which weans us away from our retrogressive attachment to matter, exemplified on the moon chain as the inheritor of that which came from the earlier solar system. Well, this is the end of Esoteric Astrology Adventure 91A, page not hard to discern here, 301, and we'll begin with Esoteric Astrology Adventure 91, section B, page 301. 1-800-273-0301. What I'm trying to do here is to carefully think through these suggestions. They deal with stages of evolution which are beyond us, but perhaps there are enough hints to understand the planetary and stellar alignments which correlate in those stages of initiation which must involve the spirit. So we could look at it, you know, when we're looking here, I guess I'm going on here a little bit, but